I like to listen to Julia Child on Channel 20, and you know, she cooks, makes all these fancy things with, I want you to make a caramel basket one night. And of course we couldn't see with when it was recorded, but you could listen to the tape, and if you've already seen what was on, you know, you could kind of follow along, and she gave all the ingredients and everything, just how to do everything. And she was using a beater one day, and she says, well, this is no good, and just threw it over to one side and picked up something. Fascinating to see where she went.
Where did you learn your cooking from?
Gosh, I don't know. I just had family of eight children, you just automatically learn how to cook.
Yes, too.
Experience. That's all. But it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun to make things and try things that you've never tried before.
Are your children all grown now?
Yeah, my baby's 16.
That's not so young.
No, my oldest is 32. So they're all scattered.
Have you lived in this area for a long time?
Well, not really. I went out to the state of Washington to live for 20 years out there. And that's where most of my children were born. There were two of them born here in Cooperstown, and one in Columbus, Ohio, and the rest of them were born out in the state of Washington. But and then we came back here in 1962.
Were you born here?
Herkimer.
In Herkimer? I see. Okay.
So I went to school. I went to school in Herkimer, and when I was a kid, from kindergarten through the fourth grade, and then went to Little Falls in the fifth grade, in Columbus, Ohio, from the sixth grade through high school and college—not college, but business school—and then we came back here to live. We lived over in Richville. And then that's when we went from there to the state of Washington to live.
Boy, that's
quite around.
You got around. That's
yeah,
right.
And then back.
That's moving.
Long distance.
That's great.
Yeah, why don't you put your sweater over on the,
sure,
right over the chair, that'll be all right.
There.
That's fine.
Okay. So, what do you, do you just bake here at the Goodyears, or do you just do all sorts of different cooking?
All sorts of things. It's Mrs. Kramer's helper.
Oh, I see.
She's boss.
Well, I have a boss,
well,
too.
My mother. And, I like it quite well. I did bake one year over to the Red Sleigh. And then the year after that, I baked for not everything but bread like that for over there, and I had pies that I made. And let's see, I baked for Act Four, this Cooperstown Playhouse here, for 2 years, and for Miller's on the Lake, and bread and donuts for Red Sleigh, and Potsdam's was a little grocery store that they sold the things there, and down at Birmingham's. And, oh gosh, 1 year we had 1,178 loaves of quick bread that we made. This didn't go to any of the restaurants. This was just to Potsdam's and Birmingham's there. And banana bread and applesauce bread and pumpkin bread and date nut bread and Boston brown bread. Then we had white bread, 400 loaves of white bread. Oh, that was an experience. The first time we tried it, so see, my husband helped me. And the first time we tried it, we made our dough up about midnight, and we were supposed to punch it down in about 4 hours. And we put it in the refrigerator. And he got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and come downstairs and went to punch down that dough. And the dough had raved and it filled the entire refrigerator. And he had opened the door and he said he thought it was going to attack him. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's something to take.
Oh my gosh.
And that was our first attempt at it. But that was, it was fun. Different things that you have happen. Let's see, then we made donuts. They weren't fried donuts, they were baked by electricity. And irons, similar to a waffle iron, a sandwich toaster, you know, only they, instead of having the little square things, they were the shape of half of a donut, top and bottom. And you filled your dough with a pastry tube around the circle and put the lid down. In 5 minutes, opened it up and got a lovely donut.
Sounds good.
And they were did about pretty good on those. We had, what was it, 60 dozen 1 year. And that was the first year that we made them. And then they went up to well over 100 in later years after that. And they used to sell those over at the Red Side, served them over there. And they served them at Miller's on the Lake. Mm-hmm. And then of course they sold them down in Birmingham's, the other places. And then we had, pies, apple pies and pumpkin pies and raspberry and strawberry and rhubarb and goodness knows the kinds. And of course, couldn't make any cream pies because they had to be refrigerated and there was no refrigeration, you know. For Miller's, I used to make just the shell and she would fill them. She kept those in the freezer and then she'd take a shell out when she wanted to use it. And just all she had to do then, you see, was fill it. It made it easier for her. But they had apple pies and cherry pies and like this down there too. It was 700 and some, I think. And I think the most I made in one day was 38. And wow. I was tired.
I can bet.
It was all made from scratch. And I got my hubby to help me there. He used to make up the pie dough for me. And I put the water and stuff in it. But he always used to make it up. And make my big dish pan. We filled it with. Mm-hmm. I made that twice filled in one day, and then plus others. The mother that we had made up the day before, you see, in order to do 30 to 38 pies. But that was something.
I can believe.
And see, we had 300 and some dozen cookies that we made 1 year. Then we made cookies every year, but there was chocolate chip and a banana oatmeal, and that was a very good seller too. And so was molasses, but that was about the extent of peanut butter sometimes that we made. But I would make up the batter for those, and they could stand from day to day, except for the chocolate chip. They couldn't stand. You couldn't make them up, tonight and bake them tomorrow morning. They could set a half hour, an hour, or something like that, and be just fine, but anything beyond that. And the other ones all had to set anyway, and you could bake up. Now, my recipe made 18 dozen in the banana oatmeal. So I could make up that batter, and that would be enough for maybe a couple of days baking. But it's 3 days a week. We started out at 5 and 6 in the morning, and we would work through until around 4 o'clock in the next afternoon. And because, well, see, all the stuff had to be mixed, baked, packaged, and delivered.
Yeah.
By the time you did all this, it just, that takes time. And labeled, you see. Everything has to be labeled if you sell it at, with the ingredients. And from the most to the least, in that order. If you use more sugar than you do flour, your sugar has to come first. And your salt, and like this, and spices, they have to be listed too. If so, what kind of spices they're supposed to be, because some people, some are allergic to nutmeg, some are allergic to cinnamon and different things, you see. And so these things have to be listed, and to the approximate percentage. We didn't go into raisin bran because raisin bran, you have to have so many raisins per pound loaf. And I can see me counting out raisins and putting so many raisins in each pound.
Oh, boy.
But it's been fun.
Good.
But that one, we went to the refrigerator at 4 o'clock in the morning, that was too funny for words, honestly. We had a couple of tragedy things that happened, but I can't remember now just exactly what it was. But that one was funny. That one was stuck to mind.
What does your husband do while you were baking? Were you baking at home then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were baking at home. What did he have a regular job, or was he helping you?
Well, he was helping me right at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was more or less between jobs. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I know something you can do. You can help me. Of course, I couldn't have done it. Well, the kids used to pitch in and help me, too. They'd help me package, or I had a big bowl. It's a 22-quart bowl on my big mixer. And this was hard, or it was heavy to begin with. And you get it full of batter, and it was heavier. So they used to empty it for me and wash it and like this. And the boys would say, we'd come in at noon for lunch and like this, or if my husband was there, he'd empty it. And lots of times they made batter too. Pat used to make the batter for me once in a while. And one time I was sick and unable to do it. And the two men got together and they did it. Of course, with help of Mom from the Davenport, with instructions and something goes wrong. But everything I found, now this was from experience that at the Red Sleigh, Mrs. Abbott had said that she wanted things to be cooked consecutively. In other words, yes, if it's good today, she wants it good tomorrow, and not good today and bad tomorrow and good the next day, you see. And well, there's only one way of doing that, and that is, there's so much difference now. You can take flour, for instance, and take a cup of flour, and the next day you could do the same thing, and maybe you'll have a teaspoon or a tablespoon more flour in that cup than what you had the day before, because it settles, you see. Or if you tap the cup on the side, it settles down, packs tighter. So in order to have everything exact each time, you go by ounce weight and poundage. And that's, I have failed to do that, because I found that way I could have the same amount each time and not vary.
Mm-hmm.
And of course your ovens have to be, too. You have to know your ovens. They have to be accurate, as near accurate as possible. Because sometimes, of course, your batter should always be to room temperature. That way they will always bake the same. But it's quite interesting to get into it.
I asked you earlier how you learned this. Were you baking as well, say, in Washington or Columbus, or did you just start baking when you came back here?
Oh, no. I did some baking out in Washington. For other people as they requested. Let's see. How am I going to put this now? I did a few birthday cakes. And I made my oldest boy's wedding cake. And I made a neighbor's wedding cake. And that was about the extent of the large cakes that I made before I came here. And since then, I've made quite a number of the big ones that was serving anywhere from 100 to 200 servings. And I don't know. It's just that I started learning this out there. Let's see, it was before my last baby was born, I think, before Teresa was born. I guess it was before that. Anyway, I decorated sugar cubes. It goes back to 1956, I think, 55 or 56. And I decorated sugar cubes with little tiny tubes. And the sugar cubes you see would be, they're used in your coffee or your tea. And the little decoration that you put on top of them would, as it went into the hot liquid, you see it would separate from the sugar cube and come to the top and float around on top. While you drank your tea, there'd be a little rosebud floating around on top. And that was made of royal icing. And then you can make big flowers, big roses if you wanted to, and floating punch bowls. And I used to make that close up and make my own sugar cubes. Not the square ones or the oblongs, I used to buy those, but for instance, little baby booties and bells. And those had to be molded and hollowed out and dried. And the booties, they're just packed and tapped out on paper and dried. You can make balls or Easter eggs and hollow those out, cut off an end so that you make a panorama egg or a panorama snowball. You can see inside with little scenes appropriate for the occasion, whichever it may be. I did that sort of thing. One year, really the whole thing started out was to have birthday cakes like that for my own family. And I got a book from the library. It was a modern encyclopedia of cake decorating. It was written by a Wilton of the Wilton Enterprises, Chicago, I believe it is. The school was there. And then there was our bread man. He used to come around. They don't do that anymore, but they used to come around. It's like the milkman would go around, you know, and then deliver bread. And this was right after World War II. He'd been overseas and he'd come back. And he had learned between he and his buddies had gone to the school and learned how to do this sort of thing. And I was sitting there at the table trying to make a cone, paper cone, when he came to come by, and I wasn't having any luck at it, and he showed me how. And then it was through him that he went to the baker at the plant and asked him if he had any old tubes that he could, that I could have. And he sold me three tubes, the flower tube and a leaf tube and a border tube, all for 45 cents. And then I started practicing with that, practicing with Crisco.
Sure.
And one thing led to another.
Mm-hmm. I see. No. Where did this
That started out in Washington.
That was in Washington. Yeah. And where did this bread man learn his? How did he get involved with the bread business?
Well,
I bet
he was a veteran. You see, he had come back after World War II, and they had had an opportunity to go to school, and the two boys, Ralph was one of them, and I don't know who the other one was, but they couldn't afford for the both of them to go. So one went and come home and taught the other one. That's how that worked out. I suppose they roomed together, you see, and one worked to keep the other one in school, and that's the way that worked. So they told me anyway. But he was—he had a class at the church, and I attended that class. I even didn't know what I was doing there, but still, there was a lot that I had to learn. From just what I had picked up myself wasn't enough, really. And I did learn pressure control, as you know, if you squeeze too hard, why you get too much icing through. If you don't squeeze hard enough, why you don't get enough through, and you won't get your design accomplished that you want to make, the scrolls or dots.
Mary,
yeah.
I write this down.
I like to try new things.
Can I ask you your age, or do you want to divulge that? Some people mind.
56.
Okay. Well, that's not very old.
No. Yes, it is.
And do you remember your father's name?
Olin. O-L-I-N.
And do you know where he was born?
Utica.
Utica. And this may be a hard one. Do you remember your grandfather's place of birth on your father's side?
I didn't know my grandpa on my father's side. I don't know. His name was William Kramer. That's all I know. I don't know where he was born or anything about it. I do know that he was a paper hanger and he only had one arm. Take that one out.
No way.
My dad was only 13
then,
so.
Yeah. Do you remember your grandmother's place of birth on your father's side? Can I have your mother's name?
Yeah, her name is Lena Kramer.
Mm-hmm. And where was she born?
She was born in Jefferson, I believe.
And here we go again. Do you remember, or do you know where her father was born? Your grandfather on your mother's side, then.
Well, I'll have to ask her.
And your grandmother's where her mother was born, too. Could you ask her that?
Where was Grandma England born? And this is your mother, huh?
Yeah, I don't know whether she's born in Denver or whether she's born down in New York. I can't tell you.
She doesn't know for sure. But let me see. Harpersville? Yeah, she thinks that Grandpa was born there, but she doesn't know New York State. That's all she can tell you about it, as far as her mother is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That goes that kind of ways, you know?
Sure.
Did you get enough for your...
Well, I hope so.
How long was this, it? He said it would take about an hour.
Oh, about an hour. I've got about a half an hour on tape.
Now,
the only thing I can say is maybe we could talk a little bit. I'll go in a few minutes, but maybe we could talk a little bit while you work. We've no reason you can't work while we do this. Because I know... when you want to go soon...
As soon as I can.
Yeah. Please don't feel that you have to stay for me or anything. I just stay and talk while you load those chocolate chip cookies on the tray there. Would that be all right?
It's all right.
Okay. Is there anything you really particularly like to bake?
Well, I get into wedding cakes. It's getting started is the hard part, but once you get started, why, gosh, time means nothing. You know?
Yeah.
You just get interested. As one time I had a cake from Mrs. Bridger that she wanted. She had a picture of her granddaughter's house on a slide. And I made the cake and put that picture on, painted it. There's different ways of painting. One, you can take and put a hard drying icing on top of your cake, and then with food coloring and so on and so forth, you can put your pictures on. Well, I had made a cake from Mrs. Goodyear at one time that I built a little house of sugar cubes and put that on. Well, this one time I didn't have time to do this, and she wanted it made of sugar. So I wound up making a raised icing formation. And then